Hey, it's Chaz and AJ.
Hello.
Thank you for listening to our podcast.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoy it. And please subscribe, comment, share, do all those things that make us look good.
And be nice.
Thank you. All right, you know what a flubble montage is.
My hell.
Yeah, we take all the flubs and the mumbles, we combine them, we make a montage, and here's the best from the week.
Weather and traffic.
Channel 3, Biller Associates, public and early... that was a bad one. Channel 3, Biller Associates.
Here we go.
Hey, how you doing? Good?
Well, I thought they were telling me there was a traffic jam.
I stayed up all night and your brain deteriorated.
What was that, AJ?
Apparently, heaven was waiting for me to get out so I can, water.
I was half asleep here.
I can't even talk anymore.
No.
Yeah. Do you want Jerry to be on a microphone when we...
Yes.
When Drew is finding...
Smoking by Boston at number 2 is something having a good time, listening to music, but it can be also interpreted as being about marijuana. Hmm. For example, they're one of the many reasons why
it's leaving you speechless.
Exactly. And don't put it back.
All right, that's enough.
Nope, I'm putting them down 1. Yeah.
You're putting them down 1?
I'm putting it down 1.
I'm putting them down 1.
Yeah.
Just sign up promo code CHAZ, C-H-A, this week before the Cardinals take on the Seahawks.
C-H-A-Z.
Yep, exactly.
You said C-H-A.
I can't be doing
it. It's on fire.
Oh. I just got a text from
nice try.
Again, the towel. Ah, it's like 82 degrees outside with like 150% humidity or something like that, That was not a flubble.
Andre did send me a dick pic. It's a pic of Dick Clark.
What the hell just happened?
I don't know.
Breezy, chilly, nice day, but a little cool. Upper 40s, 35 now in Wallingford.
Wow.
It's a dull payment, right? Yeah.
I'm counting down the days.
It was hitting the side of the box.
True, you couldn't.
Like that.
I mean, whatever your friggin' name is. Get off the phone.
Beef man.
Yeah, get lost, Drew.
Beef man. Yeah. I'm here for you. I know there were more flubs than everybody else. I know there were.
When? I'll grab them.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay.
Tell me.
Yeah. I'm going to take my own tally from now on.
Okay.
Go right ahead. Yeah. You got a clicky pen.
Right in your head in a second.
Scott Haney, Channel 3.
Hey!
Scott!
Hey, how you doing? How you doing?
It's Dominic the Donkey.
Hey.
Jiggity jing.
Jiggity jing.
Dominic the Donkey.
Hey, come with the gown.
I have Christmas clothes on today.
Really? Good for you.
Well, I saw
I
saw you dressed as a turkey.
Yep.
Yes, I dressed as a turkey.
I'm like, man, it's early for that. And then I realized, oh, no, it's not.
It's next week.
Oh, no.
It's next week.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Next week is Thanksgiving, baby.
Wow.
And we're rolling out the stops.
My calendar's broken. Whatever. Sorry.
Yeah, exactly. So, we got out to Food Share on Wednesday. We stood there in the freezing cold. And we collected a bunch of turkeys, and like Stop and Shop gave us a check for $90,000.
Oh, cool. I got to go there today.
$90,000. And it's from that, when you go to Stop and Shop and they ask you if you want to raise your total, give the change to a charity?
Yeah.
Right.
It went to Food Share, and they raised $90,000 in like 3 weeks. I don't even know how they did it. It's amazing.
Wow.
The philanthropy that is in the state of Connecticut is bringing me to a state of mind that is really good.
Philanthropy.
Yeah.
Philanthropy.
Yeah, this is, we do it heavy around this time of year. We don't think people need help all year round. And
exactly.
And we're not, what you did and what we're doing today at Connecticut Fresh Food and Produce in Wallingford for the Connecticut Food Bank, it's not just for one meal
on
Thanksgiving. This is, they stock their shelves.
Oh,
And they help people all year round.
Right. And they know to take advantage of the time when people are giving because they got to spread that money out throughout the course of the next 11 months.
Yep.
Right.
They got to get the money, they got to get it in, they got to shell it out and even it out over the course of the next, and Food Share is moving. They're going to go to Wallingford, where you guys are today.
Oh, wow.
They got a huge, they're going to get rid of that facility in Bloomfield, and they're moving. They joined forces with the Connecticut Food Bank, and now they're huge.
Is that right?
Excellent.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm supposed to tell you that.
No, I didn't hear anything.
I won't tell anyone.
No. Nobody heard anything.
Don't tell anybody.
Well, it's interesting because we're in Wallingford today collecting food for the Connecticut Food Bank. So yeah.
That's fantastic.
Yep.
Look at that. We're doing the same thing.
It all works out.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I won't say nothing.
What will be on your Thanksgiving plate? All right. So let's just say... let's do this. Where are you going to be for Thanksgiving, first of all?
I will be at my sister-in-law's brother's house.
Brother's
house. We removed here. Sister-in-law's brother's
house. Yeah, it's a little bit removed.
Sister-in-law.
Some guy's house. Brother's wife's brother.
Okay.
You're getting for a band.
All right. So you get up. You got your plate. Okay.
Yep.
All right, let's go through this. What are you putting on there?
A little stuffing first.
Okay. A little.
Yeah.
Not a lot.
A lot. Well, I do love stuffing, so.
Right.
And sometimes there's more than one type of stuffing.
Yeah.
So I'd have to try them all.
Okay.
Candied yams. I'm going for the candied yams, hopefully with the marshmallows on the top.
Okay.
Oh. Right. Not a fan of that.
Yeah.
Really?
Too desserty for me.
Well, you know what it is? To me, that plate is a piece of real estate, and it's very valuable real estate.
Manhattan.
Yeah.
And so I go with the strongest. So I'm with you on the stuffing.
Yes.
So if there's two different kinds of stuffing, I have to try both.
Or all of them. Yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's six. I'm going
definitely for cranberry sauce, because I have to eat that with my turkey.
Yes.
I was a late arrival to this.
Cranberry sauce is the bomb,
As a kid, never liked it.
I smeared it everything.
Now I'm like, wow, I really missed out on this.
Even on the person next to me. Yeah.
I don't like it when it's in the shape of a can.
Yeah.
I don't mind the ridges.
That's the best one.
I love the ridges on the can.
Really?
Yeah. Right.
That's the best one. I want the can-shaped one.
No.
But I love any type of cranberry sauce. Yeah. If they make it the homemade,
even
I
the
love
fancy
it.
One.
Yeah.
If it's out of the can, I love it. I just love food.
Hey, it's going back in the can. Why not out of the can?
I like to mix my food. So, like, I'll take a fork of mashed potatoes and a fork of meat or that kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So,
yeah,
like,
yeah.
The
awesome
stuffing,
too.
If you take a little bit of stuffing and you make it, where's the music?
You got to use the stuffing first, right? And then use the piece of turkey to stop from falling off.
You take a little stuffing and you mix it with the cranberry sauce.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, it's delicious.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Oh, yes.
Wow.
Now, speaking of mashed potatoes, I will give that very little real estate on my plate.
Oh, because you're not
getting
the right potatoes.
I don't know. I just don't.
I
will definitely have it, but I don't need a whole bunch of real estate on my plate for mashed potatoes.
Yeah.
And you got to make the gravy for the lake.
Exactly.
The gravy.
Exactly.
Your little volcano.
Yes.
Yeah, gravy lake. Got to make gravy lake.
It's little the little gravy lake.
Right.
God, I'm starving now.
Man-made. Yeah. Me too. I'm like, son of a bitch, really?
And then, of course, turkey. You got to put the turkey on there.
Yeah. Yeah, one piece of white meat and maybe a leg.
I'm not a big turkey person. So.
Yeah.
I'm not either. Like, I could take it or leave it, but I got to have a little bit of it.
Yeah. Mm. Got some of the skin on there, the burnt skin on there with the seasoning on it.
I love that.
Yep. Got to have that.
And then we make the best amazing turkey, Chef Jerry.
He
made turkey that. He did this thing where he taught me how to debone a turkey.
Oh, yeah.
You
right,
take
right.
that whole carcass out of the turkey.
Yeah.
And then you put stuffing in it and you roll it up.
Yeah.
Like a yodel.
Yeah.
That's like,
and you put strings on it.
Yeah.
And you put it in the oven. It's a fraction of the time.
Yeah.
And then you slice it. Little slices. And you're getting turkey and stuff.
Like a roll, yeah.
Nuts.
Yeah.
Perfect for sandwiches.
I think that deboning thing was actually done by the Marine Corps. When your drill sergeant got mad, I'll debone you.
Yeah.
He brought in like a paella type of stuffing once that he
made. Yeah.
He was like, I get bored with the same stuffing, so every year I change it.
Ugh.
And he threw all kinds of stuff in there. I was like, this is the best thing
he stuffed
thing
the
I've
stuffing.
Amazing,
yeah.
Amazing.
Yep.
There's nothing better than paella. Can we just discuss that for just
oh, my God, yeah. You got to have that half a lobster, though, with it.
But do you like paella with seafood in it?
Yes, I love I don't like lobster. It's the only seafood I don't like. I don't like crab.
Well,
but any other seafood I love.
Oh, crab I love.
It depends if it comes with little eyeballs.
Yeah, disgusting. With that green stuff?
Because that's how they serve it. Then you have to, like, look at them. Ugh, it's
like
horrible.
The eyeballs are in the paella?
Awful.
Yeah, and seafood paella. The little shrimps come with the little eyeballs. Yeah.
Well, you take that part off. You don't eat
exactly.
that part.
I don't want to look at it.
So just rip his head off right away.
One of them started singing to me the last time. Under the sea.
Under the sea.
Yeah, that was way too much.
Under the sea.
That's called sangria.
Where I used to be.
I like the seafood in it when it's you know, you're at the restaurant and they put it down in front of you.
Yeah.
But when I'm putting it in the fridge for overnight, got to take the seafood out.
Oh, really?
I do not like seafood.
Interesting.
I don't like seafood. Like, it's like, tastes like low tide.
Really?
After a night in
this
the
is
fridge.
Like, this is like Dr. Seuss. I do like seafood in my food. I do like seafood in my food.
Comedian Mamoose is on. He almost died in a car accident. I mean, really lucky to be alive.
Yes, he is.
So we're talking about...
Is he really here?
Lucky to be alive from an accident. Yeah. Trying to stay away from illness.
Yes.
It's a
bummer.
It's a whole deal.
Yes.
Christina Middletown.
Hello. How are you?
Good.
Hello.
How are
you? Hello.
Hello. So I actually got into an absolutely terrible car accident when I was 21 on 95 as well.
Oh.
I'm now 27. But so I was traveling. I was leaving my hometown, which is Clinton, and I was on from 63. I was going on 95 to go to the gym, which would be at 64. And I'm in the right lane, and traffic's a little slow. It's about 8:30 in the morning. And so I moved over to the left lane. It was completely clear. So I'm in the left lane, just minding my business, listening to music. And I look in my rearview mirror, and I see this huge, like, truck coming towards me, this pickup truck. And I'm like, wow, he's going, like, really fast. And I look again, and he's, like, not slowing down. And I'm like, okay, well, he's going to hit me if he doesn't slow down. He's getting closer and closer. So I start, like, speeding up a little bit.
Good move. Good
and
move.
The next thing I know, to try to, like, move away from him. And the next thing I know, he Tonka trucks on top of my 1994 Volvo.
Oh.
Literally, he was going so fast that he, like, got on top of the hood of, like, the roof of my car.
He mounted you. Yes, and basically, yes.
He mounted me. Yep. And he crushed the whole back of my car, and when he braked, when he did that, he pushed me more into traffic, and I ended up spinning on 395 three times, and my car, the...
It's like you guys were playing chicken, and he was on your back.
Oh, leapfrog, yeah.
Yeah, he, like, and I just remember, like, looking in the back, I'm like, he needs to stop, like, he needs to slow down, he's gonna hit me, and then all of a sudden, he hit me.
Yeah.
And I ended up ricocheting off the center barrier, and ended up horizontal, flat in the middle of 95, in the middle of two lanes, and cars were just, like, hitting me, because I was literally in the middle of the lane, and the whole front end of my car was completely crushed in because of the force of hitting the middle barrier, the cement barrier, and the whole back was completely crushed by his truck. So somehow I lived. I don't know how I lived.
Because you had a Volvo. Those cars are made for accidents.
That's exactly.
They have crumple zones. They have roll bars.
Part of it.
Yep.
Definitely a good part
of
it.
Yeah. Some other vehicle
so
probably been squished.
When the first responder got there,
yep.
He had to break open the window to get me out because my car, like, locked itself in because I think it just put, like, thought I rolled because of the impact. And so I couldn't get out. And so the first responder was able to get me out. And that's the first thing he said. He said, your Volvo saved your life.
Yep.
But it was, if somebody was in the back seat, they would have died. The whole back seat got completely crushed. And they would have just not lived.
Yeah.
But it was easily the scariest moment of my entire life.
Yeah.
And it just, you said it on. Happened so quick. It happened so quick. The next thing I'm looking in my rearview mirror, I'm like, he's getting too close. And then bam.
Did your adrenaline slow down?
He's traveling too fast.
The impact?
So he was. Yeah, he said the sun was in his eyes.
Oh, didn't see you.
He didn't.
Well, then go slow.
Right. There's an idea. Yeah.
I can't see me going. Let me go as fast as possible into this big glare.
Yeah. I'm going to try and beat the sun.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's
so
a cell phone.
Lifted Ford F-350. So lifted Ford F-350 with my little Volvo.
Love that truck.
Was it the Vol after that?
He didn't actually come to a complete stop for like over a mile away.
Wow. Like punting a football.
That's how fast he was going. And he never asked if I was okay. So it was like, is he going to, like, come and...
Almost kill someone.
No? Okay.
What a jerk. Yeah.
But he's also basically shy.
She got me beat.
Yeah.
It's not a competition.
All I had was a concussion. I didn't have any bruising, any cutting or anything. So...
What do you mean only?
He wants the safest car in the world. I'm, like, the advocate for Volvos now. I'm like, get a Volvo.
Yeah.
And Volvos and Saabs. I currently drive a Volvo, so...
You know, if you were in one of those smart cars or whatever they're called, the little tiny cars.
Smart cars, yeah.
Yeah, you would have looked like a little beer can squashed on the road. He would have drove and was like, oh, did I just hit something?
Right, he would have punted you.
Is that a speed bump?
No, he would have. The pictures are insane because of how old the Volvo is. It's pure. It's not like that plastic that they use for cars now because it's pure metal.
Yeah.
And it's crushed into, it looks like a beer can. It's crushed into nothingness. So that's the, like, impact. And anything that was in my trunk, I had, like, textbooks in my trunk. I had, like, personal belongings. They all got, I could never get them because they're just destroyed. I couldn't get into the trunk because it was crushed.
I had a pie back there. Oh, no. My peach cobbler!
I was like, that's a lot of money. So, like, that was, like, something I had to fight with the insurance about because I was, like, I literally have, like, the textbooks in my trunk. Like, I go to school.
The old textbook in the trunk trick, yeah.
Those textbooks are expensive.
Yeah. My homework's in the trunk.
Yeah, I would have hired a welder to cut that open with a grinder.
Yeah, seriously.
I almost did. So, but it was maybe my excuse for a day not to do homework. I'm like, I literally cannot get into my trunk. Wow. So
that's unreal.
Yeah, that was a scare. My near life death moment.
Wow.
And it's kind of really true. I don't know if you guys have ever experienced it. I hope you never experience it. But when they say, like, your life flashes before your eyes, my life was flashing before my eyes.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So 21 years of your life, did any of the images stick out as that life was flashing by?
Yeah, truck.
Yeah, so when I was 18 years old, I moved to Los Angeles, and I did an AmeriCorps Peace Corps program out there.
Oh, cool.
And that was kind of a huge thing when I was, like, spinning. That seemed to be pretty prominent in my thoughts.
Wow.
That, you know, I was only 21 years old, but at least I did something good in my short years of life. I spent something good for my students.
You thought you were going to die, and you flash back to, like, at least I accomplished something good.
Might be Phil correcting me.
Something good, yep.
It just gave me chills.
Like, my mom and my sister and stuff, too, but that was, like, it was my thing. Like, well, at least I did something.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it was true, totally, like, as I'm spinning, doing 360s on 95, is you get this whole, like, little snippets of time of your life that are just flashing.
It was, like, buffering.
We're giving you the pair of tickets.
Yeah, you need tickets. You need tickets. You do. You need tickets.
Hold on. You're getting the tickets. You're going to Journey in Toto.
Yeah, just don't drive.
Yeah. Don't drive. Who wants a guitar from Eddie Van Halen?
Oh, I would love one.
Sure.
Yes.
Santa, can I have Keith Richards' red, gold, embroidery, and rhinestone crop jacket?
I've been very good this year.
Oh, I thought you were going to be Santa.
Oh, I'm Santa. Okay. Yeah. Of course. For first, you have to buy it.
That is true. This is the greatest auction that I could ever remember. I'm looking at these items here.
Yep.
Martin Nolan, executive director of Julian's Auctions, promoting their auction that starts today. Icons and Idols, Rock and Roll. How you doing?
Fantastic. Good morning to you guys, and thank you for having me on.
Thank you.
I feel like I should have a bowl of Lucky Charms right now.
Oh.
No. Why not? It's
Massively the holidays. Exactly right.
Can I tell you, you're from Ireland, right? I already made one mistake this week.
Pittsburgh.
That was a different accent.
Pittsburgh, yeah.
Different accent.
Yeah, he's from Detroit, actually. Right.
The Upper West Side.
Very similar.
We,
so many similarities.
The tribe and AJ and I went to Ireland, to your homeland, and we just loved every second of it. It's a beautiful country. The people are beautiful.
Didn't break anything.
The food is great.
Yep.
Need a little salt and pepper on it, but
a little bit, yeah.
It's great.
Other than that, it's great.
And being in a pub, we are in a real Irish pub, but there they just call them pubs.
Yep.
So. This rock and roll auction. Wow, you got some stuff here.
Yeah, as you said, I think it might be our best one yet. It's incredible. So many iconic pieces. Just, it's a treasure trove of great stuff.
I'm blown away by this Eddie Van Halen Fender Frankenstrat guitar.
Yeah. Well, you know, sadly we lost Eddie. And so since then, anything from Eddie Van Halen is skyrocketing in prices. And these limited edition guitars are highly sought after. They're works of art themselves, done by Eddie Van Halen himself. He did the designs. He did it. And So, you know, we estimate, I think, 30,000 to 50,000 should sell for a lot more than that.
I think so.
There's only so many of them out there.
Yeah. All right. So this was played by Eddie Van Halen, signed by him and Alex.
Wow.
Which obviously impacts the value as well. Take the work of art, then put Eddie playing it, and then have him sign it. I mean, that all impacts the value, and that's what the collectors love.
Now, did he play it, or did he put it in his hand, sign it, and then strum
like,
it?
Noodle around a little bit,
and then hand it over to you, and say, now
no,
you could say
no,
I played
no.
it.
Every one of these guitars was used on stage by him.
Wow.
That was part of the whole deal.
Wow. Yeah.
That's cool.
Wow. How many of those do you have?
We have one in this auction. We sold a couple last year, and you know, some of them sold for over 100,000.
Wow. So that guitar comes with a guitar strap. So it's the guitar played by and signed by Eddie, also signed by Alex.
Hopefully a case, right?
A guitar strap, bicycle reflectors on the back. Used to reflect the stage lights.
Okay.
5 Van Halen 2012 guitar picks taped to the body.
Nice.
And an image of Eddie printed on metal.
Oh, cool.
Guitar was gifted to Kevin Hill, a childhood friend of his.
It comes with a soft shell case.
Nice.
Wow.
You definitely want a case for that.
Yeah, that'll be interesting.
Just in case.
Yes, exactly right.
When do you want to... When is this all done?
So that particular guitar will be sold tomorrow. So we have over 900 items going on the auction block. So we're selling about 450 today and then something similar tomorrow. We started at lot number one
this morning.
And then we just keep going. You know, we have two sessions, session one today and session two tomorrow.
Okay, so it's not like we're going to list all this stuff and highest bid by a certain time. This is real. Up now.
Yeah, and then it goes. Yeah,
it's a live auction.
Right. Sold. Done.
Yeah.
The auction starts here at the Hard Rock Cafe. I'm in New York City, Times Square. It's at 10 a.m. So in about 50 minutes time, the auctioneer will be on the podium and we'll start selling at lot number one and we'll keep going until we sell all 950 or whatever we have tomorrow afternoon.
What can people stream this and watch it?
Yeah.
Awesome. Are you taking bids from
online bidding?
Online bidding, and is it too late to register for that?
No, people are registering right now. People are coming into the Hard Rock to register. They'll be bidding live in the gallery, but they can also register to bid by phone, or they can go to juliansliv.com, register to bid, and then with the beauty of the technology we have today, live streaming video on your iPhone, your iPad, your laptop computer. You can actually see and hear the auctioneer just as if you were sitting in the room and click those buttons and bid high and bid often and you won't be disappointed.
What time do you think? Well, you don't know, but what time would you guess that the Eddie Van Halen guitar would go up?
Yeah, what lot number is that?
Yeah, so it's lot number 604.
Okay, you got a while.
So it'll be tomorrow afternoon. It'll probably be somewhere in the region, I would say... let me see. Probably like mid-afternoon. Probably 1-2-ish.
Yeah. Wow. You said they just said 450 today and then 450 tomorrow. So, yeah. So, early afternoon tomorrow.
Thank you, AJ.
And we sell about 60 lots an hour, AJ.
Cool.
I don't do math.
It's about a minute.
Yeah.
Each.
You know what I want to do, though? I want to talk to you Monday and just kind of go through what everything went for, if that's okay.
Absolutely, yeah.
Great.
I'd love to have a recap because I'm sure, you know, we'll be setting some world records like we did last year when we sold Kurt Cobain's Martin guitar from MTV Unplugged.
That was you guys.
Wow.
Yeah.
That was
6,010,000.
How much?
6,010,000. And you know why I emphasized the 10,000 is because Kurt and Courtney bought that guitar in 1992 in a guitar shop, Voltage Guitar in Los Angeles. Lloyd Chiatte is the guy who owns it. He had picked up the guitar in Mississippi, brought it back to his shop, sold it to Kurt for $5,000. Well, Lloyd was in the auction gallery in June of last year in Beverly Hills, sitting beside the winning bidder who paid $6,010,000 who had come in from Australia. for the auction.
$6 million.
Why 10,000? So if somebody just said, yeah, $6 million is enough, I'm out.
Well, with the auction house fees, it came to $6 million and 10,000.
Oh, okay. So it was $6 million even? 10,000 was the fee?
Well, the fee would be a little bit more than that, let me tell you. But that's where it comes out with.
Wow.
Okay. We don't work for free.
Yeah.
Of course not. No, you got bills to pay.
That seems stupid. Like that amount of money that guitar.
Oh, my God.
So we broke the record for over $1 million selling the first guitar to sell over $1 million was us. We sold the John Lennon guitar.
That makes sense to me.
Yeah.
John Lennon guitar makes sense.
$2.4 million. It had been stolen from John in 1963 and then resurfaced. And long story short, we sold it $2.4 million. Then Dave Gilmour's guitar sold in 2019 for almost $4 million. They sold the guitar and they sold the case separately.
Almost
$4 million.
Was it the guitar he played Comfortably Numb on, or was there some backstory to that guitar?
Well, one of his most iconic guitars. It was an auction he did for charity at another auction house. So they held a new world record, almost $4 million. Keep in mind, they sold the actual case separate to the guitar. And then we came back 1 year later and sold the Kurt Cobain guitar, a Martin guitar. And so that leads me to talk about the Eric Clapton guitar we have coming up, which will actually be sold today. And it's a 1968 Martin D45 acoustic guitar played by Eric Clapton during his Derek and the Dominoes days. Wow. I mean, Clapton is such a, you know, a guitar god, if you will, a genius with the guitar. And so his guitars sell for huge amounts of money. This, we estimate conservatively, $300,000 to $500,000, but I think it should go much higher.
Yeah, I think so. So he had that guitar and was using it in the studio for the Derek and the Dominoes recording sessions?
Yeah, and he actually, their first performance at the Lyceum Theater on June 14th, 1970 in London, that was the guitar he had. And he may have had that guitar when he was writing the lyrics for Layla. And in fact, we're also selling some handwritten lyrics for Layla by Eric Clapton.
Wow.
Wow, that's cool stuff.
That acoustic guitar.
That's amazing stuff.
That is really something else. Wow, that's mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Do you get pictures of Eric with that guitar, using that guitar?
Absolutely. That's, you know, obviously, if you're coming to an auction and you're spending, you know, you're not buying a signed CD here. These are really iconic pieces, very important pieces, part of our pop culture history. People are, you know, wanting to own something iconic, and also to see these items as an investment vehicle. They're assets that you own it in years to come. Chances are you'll sell it for more than you pay for it today. Certainly something iconic like that. So, yes, there's photographs of Eric with the guitar in at restaurants, on stage, fantastic provenance with this guitar.
Is there anything from the beginning of music? Well, not the beginning, but like Beethoven's wig or something.
Two
like,
rocks they pounded together, you know, from cavemen?
Right. Yeah. Like his baton or something. I don't know. Like a harpsichord. Like, does anyone care about that stuff now?
I wouldn't know.
No.
It's rock.
No, but the reality is everyone collects something. So there's going to be one or two people somewhere that would get very excited about a Beethoven wig or something like that. You know, yes. But typically, you know, the world that we're in, our audience is current. They grew up with, you know, Led Zeppelin or Nirvana or Presley or Jackson or Madonna or Whitney Houston, whatever. You know, like, and so you're appealing to their nostalgia and their desire to cling on to their youth, if you will. And that's what they're coming to the auction to own, something from back in the day when they remember they were where they were, what was happening in their life at that time.
Right.
And now they can own this piece, show it off, great conversation piece, and chances are they made a good investment.
Okay. Yes, on all that. But a couple of generations from now, when people may not care as much about these artists, they're not emotionally attached to them because they didn't grow up listening to them, those things might not matter as much. Not that, you know, look, we won't tell the people coming today this, right?
They're asleep right now anyway. So.
But I'm just throwing it out there.
Yeah.
You know?
But that's a very good point. And we saw that when we did an auction for Bob Hope back in 2000 and I think it was 2000 and... eight or nine, somewhere in there. But he would have been 113 or something like that when we did his auction.
Yeah.
So, like, his audience, and he was amazing, and he was brilliant. And
one of the
so
greatest
loved.
Entertainers to ever live, by the way.
Absolutely.
Iconic yes. nose, too.
His audience is in the range of 60 to 100, let's say.
Yeah.
They're at a stage in their lives when they're trying to get rid of their own stuff, not try to acquire more.
Right.
So, yes, there is a, what I call the windows of opportunity. There's the time to buy, but also there's also the time when to sell your items.
Right. This is the sweet spot for this stuff.
Yeah.
And it will go up. And then you'll just have to judge the market
yeah.
and when it's time to let them go.
Like any investment, and like, you know, my background was in finance. I was on Wall Street. So I always knew when to tell a client when to buy, but I was reluctant to call and say it's time to sell. And,
right.
you know, very few people will tell you when to sell. So you have to figure out when is your own window of opportunity, when you're ready to let go, because people get attached to these items that mean something to them. And so the letting go part is also can be challenging because of your emotions and where you are in your life and the memories associated with the item, etc. The nice thing about these items, and we saw that, you know, in the Great Recession, 2008, 2011, etc., that people, you know, that had bought items, they actually needed to raise some funding liquidity, so they came back and sold their items. So during a recession, auctions do very well as well, because the people that are buying this stuff generally have disposable income and have
yeah,
you know,
they're
the
ready.
Capacity to, they're ready to buy any time, right? But some people who have stuff in their collection, you know, they come to us, they need liquidity, and we sell it and they get paid out.
Nice.
So
we're talking
all around.
There's a huge rock and roll auction happening this weekend. Starts at 10 a.m. today, and then it goes tomorrow as well. And some amazing items going up. Historic stuff.
Yep.
What about this Elvis Presley acoustic guitar?
Yeah, that's a great guitar as well. 1972. It's a Martin D 28 acoustic. And estimated 70 to 90,000.
So the 1972 guitar, this is the fat Elvis.
Right.
Right? This is white jumpsuit,
yeah.
Vegas. I love all Elvis.
It's got barbecue
way.
Stains
I mean,
on
no
it, yes.
No disrespect. Yeah. I am a huge fan.
Right.
But this is just getting the time period here.
There's cracker crumbs inside. Yeah.
No, banana and peanut butter.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, there was something else. And jelly, I think. Banana, jelly, and... yeah. But... it was, of course, it was maybe during that time when he went to the Aloha concert in Hawaii in 1973.
Oh,
wow. So, again, you don't see too many guitars from Elvis, partly because he wasn't really known for playing guitar.
Yeah.
Yes, he played guitar, but most of his performances weren't entirely Elvis with a guitar. And so they're sort of rare. And I think an estimate of 70,000 to 90,000 is still conservative. You compare that to Eric Clapton's, which estimated 300,000 to 500,000. It's also a Martin guitar.
Right.
But just imagine walking people through your house.
Right.
Like, that's Elvis's guitar.
Right. There's his ear.
Here
yep.
is Eric Clapton's Sheet Music for Layla.
Right. And his guitar. Yep.
Can you imagine?
So, expensive house.
Yeah.
Man, we're just talking about a few of the things that'll be on auction for 2 days,
yep.
starting today.
Hundreds.
In about 51 minutes. So we'll set up some time Monday to talk to you, because I'm really curious what that Eddie Van Halen guitar goes for, what the Clapton's guitar goes for. You got a David Gilmour's cream Fender Stratocaster, vintage 57 reissue electric guitar.
Wow.
Going on.
That's an awesome guitar too, and he's highly collectible, of course.
Yeah.
And then the lyrics from Kashmir, Robert Plant, again,
awesome.
Highly collectible.
Handwritten.
Awesome stuff.
Wow.
Handwritten.
Yep.
There's
DNA.
A lot of Sinatra
yep.
stuff here too, Chaz. I don't know if you saw some of this.
Yeah, I
would, yeah, we're starting off.
I would have to
Sinatra.
Find some money first.
Yeah.
I wonder the lowest Sinatra thing on the list. he laughs at me.
Sinatra you know, we have Sammy Davis and we have Frank Sinatra. We have a, there's a Guys in Dallas poster there, 6 to 800. Actually, it's a great piece. You could have his Sinatra's personalized leather folder, 500 to 700,000, his name engraved on the leather cover. That's pretty cool.
How much is it?
500 to 700 estimate.
Thousand?
Or just...
No, dollars.
100. 500?
For 100?
Yeah, 500 to 700.
Ah, I wish we didn't say that on the air.
There's some really personal
stuff here.
Now I'm going to
be bidding against people.
Do it!
Are you going online, aren't you?
Register!
You can get his signature, and you can get something that he created.
Cost you money.
Exactly.
Treat yourself. You deserve it. You survived a pandemic.
But you know what? It's you know, Martin, it says 500 to 700. It's not going to go for that. We know that, right?
Could.
You know, the nice thing about an auction is there's always deals. There's pieces that grow through the roof, and then there's sleepers that just get sold very quietly.
Sleepers.
And there's a lot of hype about something, you know, a big piece, like, say, Clapton guitar, but then there's people in there, the Sinatras and the Ringo Starr fans, the Rolling Stones, you know, Hendrix. You know, there's stuff will sell for crazy amounts, and then you look, wow, I can't believe that's over so little. So if you put in the time, you watch the auction, you're registered online, you see something going affordable and not expensive.
How do you prove you have the money?
Oh, yeah.
You can't have every Yahoo signing up.
Right.
Correct. So what we do is when you register online, you give us your credit card. We do a quick match address with your credit card. We'd run it a dollar charge. Make sure everything is legit, and then.
But you got to find out the limit to that card, right?
Yeah, you got to put money in mine. This boy needs some cash.
Wow, this is very exciting. I am going to check it out.
You,
Martin Nolan,
it'll be fun.
Oh, it'll be great fun.
Yeah, I can spend $5. So
I like living out on the street eating tuna fish, but having a Frank Sinatra notebook to put my head on
exactly
on the sidewalk.
Right. It'll keep you warm
when I'm homeless. Martin Nolan, Executive Director of Julian's Auctions. What an exciting auction happening less than an hour from now and through tomorrow. And we'll talk to you Monday. Thank you. Look who's here.
Are you celebrating? Because today is the 30th anniversary of U2's Achtung Baby, the most important album of all time.
It's also National Toilet Day, by the way.
Yeah.
Did you know that? It's the National Toilet Day, yes.
Is that album the most important U2 album?
Yes. It's better than the Joshua Tree.
What are the tracks on that one?
Yeah, the big hits are One in Mysterious Ways.
No, can you if it's such an important album
in order?
From track one.
Yeah. Zoo Station, Even Better Than the Real Thing, One, Until the End of the World, Who's Gonna Ride Your Wild Horses, So Cruel. Track 7 is The Fly, 8 is Mysterious Ways, Trying to Throw Your Arms Around the World, Ultraviolet, Acrobat, Love is Blindness, The End.
It's like Rain Man.
So it has 2 songs on it.
It's not true. Even Better Than the Real Thing was a hit.
I'm going to throw some matches down.
Who's Going to Ride Wild Horses was a fake hit. Yeah. The Fly was a fake hit.
Who's Going to Ride Your Wild Horses was a hit for you people.
The Cools, you mean? You mean The Cools?
The U2 nerds.
And The Fly was kind of a hit. These are songs that are sort of hits.
Can you play The Fly?
You
I don't
know,
remember that song.
It's in there, Phil.
I think we swatted it once.
What year was that?
91. 30 years ago today.
91, okay.
So in October of 91, The Fly is the first single. That's what came out, and everyone was like, they don't sound like U2 anymore. What have they done? Because it doesn't sound like Joshua Tree era U2.
Would they be you, by any chance?
It was great. I went to Pizza Hut after I bought the album. I remember it like it was today.
Pizza Hut.
It was a wonderful day.
Meat Lovers?
AJ and I were program
Pan pizza.
I was program nice. Director. AJ was music director at a radio station on Long Island.
Yep.
And they bribed us. Which you can't do anymore.
They did.
Right.
I don't even think you're supposed
you
to do it
then.
I felt so violated.
This is a made-up story for the radio.
I felt so cheap.
This didn't really happen.
Yes, I was
they
cheap.
Didn't bribe us. They gifted us.
Uh-huh. Yes, they gifted.
No, that's how it's packaged.
Yes, they gifted
us. Gifted.
Right. Hey, you guys are nice guys.
Yeah.
We want to give you something. They gave us Bono sunglasses, those Fly sunglasses.
Oh, yeah.
Those were not cheap.
No.
And they were really cool.
Oakley's, I think. Yeah.
No, they're Ray-Bans.
Oh, they were really cool.
Do you still have them?
I wish. I put them down on a table at an event. I turn around. I look down. Gone.
I bet if... Did they say U2 on them, or they were just the glasses?
Just the glasses.
Oh, that's even cooler. Mm. You know this. This is a great song. This was the first single in October of 91.
Yeah, lots happened.
And people were mad. U2 fans were mad because this didn't sound like the Joshua Tree. They reinvented themselves.
Key to their success is they continuously grow or change.
Right.
Except for the Edge. It's always...
Right. You guys complain about it. Eddie Van Halen's guitar songs all sound the same, too.
Yeah, but they're different leads.
They have a style.
Yeah, his had balls.
No, his guitar on Van Halen 1 and his guitar on Mean Streets, completely different
sounds. They're the same. Just...
At least he builds his guitars, Keith.
Like my cat on coke.
I don't think anybody but a super fan would remember this song.
They play it every tour. This is a signature song.
Like I said.
Here comes the hook.
Yeah, they close the bathroom.
Wait for the hook.
Okay. The bathroom
Here's
song.
The hook. That's not true. It's so good. No?
You're making Ashley choke in here.
Yeah, you too.
Let's play Way Cool Junior from Rat, then. Should we do that?
Yeah, why not?
I love that song. That's a great song. Them. That's really...
That's not a hot take. Everybody loves that song. It's one of the most important songs of all time.
I didn't know my life was supposed to be a hot take.
But, like, you're supposed to like one. The Everybody likes one.
The hot take here is that I like a U2 song.
It's just so much fun to watch it from this angle. It's like watching Kermit the Frog freak out.
Does everybody...
You are. He doesn't look more like Kermit. Ridiculous.
That'd be a good costume for you.
It's like saying, like, I really like John Lennon's Imagine. Right. Everybody likes John Lennon's Imagine.
But this is why
Imagine.
We can't even talk about you two. You even get mad when we try to compliment them.
It's not that even a real true. Compliment. It's
I'm
just what everyone says.
This is an
intervention.
Right now for liking you two.
Jesus.
Wow.
Yeah.
I listened to the album the whole way here. I'm celebrating all day long.
Wow.
All
dude. Right. National, why you don't have a U2 t-shirt on?
Yeah, I know. Pizza I forgot. I should have.
You gotta go
it's
Pizza
a wonderful
Hut.
Song. I should.
Yeah.
There aren't any Pizza Huts.
There's a couple still left.
The one that I have from the tour, this tour, was a medium, and I am certainly not a medium anymore.
Oh, you know what? I actually hate this song.
What? God damn it.
No, I'm thinking of With Bad. Or Without You.
Oh, that one. What?
I love that song.
Ugh. This is better than... I mean, that song's great, too, but this is better than that one.
Mm.
You don't like this song? It's so poignant.
No,
it's wonderful.
I need a hot take.
No.
Everyone loves this song.
Breathy, emotional Bono.
I'm going to take a hot one after we're done here.
It's the best he ever looked, too, in this video.
Oh,
we've talked
right?
about this before. Yes. It's a wonderful song.
So,
it's not a
Bono
love song.
From this video, if he wanted to French kiss you.
This would be the time. 92 Bono. 91,
really?
92. Yeah.
You'd be like, okay.
Long hair at 87, Bono, I'm out. This mullet, 85, Bono, not great. But this is the Bono.
This now, is the Bono you'd make out with.
Old man Bono is terrible.
Now, would you Bono. Make out with Bono in front of your Boston friends?
Yeah, I think everybody who knows me would say, like, all right, that one makes sense.
Yeah.
We all thought it would happen.
Right.
All right,
you ready for my...
Damon Law, Boss Keith, top five.
Okay, no show next Friday, so here are my top five observations and thoughts about Thanksgiving and all that comes with the holiday week. All right, number five. Tuesday is the new Wednesday. So remember when everyone used to call Wednesday the biggest travel day of the year? I used to send emails to tell the afternoon DJs not to suck because everyone was listening. Well, that is not true anymore.
Okay.
Tuesday is the night that, because no one works and the world's broken, Tuesday is the night that everyone will travel. So... take it from me. Avoid Tuesday. Do not go anywhere. So
avoid
once
Tuesday.
You leave here, stay at home. Do your travel either Thanksgiving morning or Wednesday night, because Wednesday's fine now.
Hate to say I think you're wrong, but I think it's going to be Friday. It's going to be today.
Because literally no one works.
Today.
Taking the whole week off.
Yes, they are.
Yeah, no one's going in on Monday.
Nope.
We're going to go to the phones Monday at 6:20. Not one call.
Crickets.
Does that mean all the fast food place lines are going to be forever because nobody will be working more than usual?
Yep. I didn't think about Starbucks around the block.
Starbucks again.
That's interesting. So it could be today. That's upsetting. All right, number four. Black Friday, not a thing anymore. You know, remember when people, as recently as like 4 years ago, used to shove each other for $200 TVs?
Camp out.
Right. And now even stores are closed on Thanksgiving. And I wonder, will we look back on this kind of nostalgically? Like, that was awesome.
No.
That's awesome when I went to the store and like stabbed a man for a blender or whatever.
That was you?
Like, will people, because it's done, right?
Don't we already do that?
Right. I think, yes. I think, I think everybody does their shopping online or they just go Friday casually. Like,
yeah.
We used to do like broadcasts from malls and stuff, and it seems like that's
all.
Yeah,
that's right.
That was fun.
It was like a holiday.
Yeah, it's interesting how it just stopped.
Because I got roped into one of those.
I remember that, yeah.
At Stanford?
Yep.
Yeah.
Did you have a nice time,
All
Phil?
Day.
I, first of all, am not a shopper. Don't like malls. But everybody, I expected madness, and like everybody was very polite. So yes, it exceeded my expectations.
I think that was, can Chaz and AJ broadcast from the mall? No. All right, we'll send Phil.
Wow, it's like you were there.
Sounds right.
I believe that's how that meeting went.
Yep.
Number three, from 1997 to 2005, the Wednesday before Thanksgiving was my number one favorite night of the year. It's all the people from your high school packed into gross bars in your hometown. Now I can't do that anymore because I just look like a creepy old man. Like, what year did you graduate? 2017. Oh, all right. I would give $1,500 to relive, let's call it the Wednesday of 1999. Maybe $2,000. But now it's just going to be like pizza or whatever with the children.
With the children.
Right. So nice. Cool. So
amateur night.
Right. Yep. Now, that's not a thing. It was so fun.
Yeah.
You come back to your town and you find the worst bar and it's everyone you've ever known. Oh, yeah. Oh, I loved every second of it. And then you yell.
It's like a 1985 movie.
Right. I loved it. Number two, green bean casserole is a hard no. Some stupid list that said that's one of the most popular sides. That
Ew.
Is completely not true. My Thanksgiving meal is this. Turkey, gravy, potatoes, more gravy, bread.
In order of importance?
In order of importance.
Yes. Turkey.
Turkey
is number one.
Turkey,
gravy. Yeah, I love turkey. You could only have one thing.
It would be just turkey.
That's
turkey,
wrong. Gravy, right? That's wow. wrong.
I love turkey. I would eat turkey right now.
Well, when do you have turkey?
All the time?
Really?
Oh, you mean like big, like turkey
like
dinner?
Like turkey, yeah.
I don't know, twice a year maybe. I certainly don't know how to make it. I have to have my 73-year-old mother make it.
So Thanksgiving, Christmas, you have turkey.
Yeah, and then
outside
that's it.
Outside of that, it's turkey
Easter,
club.
Maybe Easter. If you hit turkey club.
You never have in the summer. I know that. Yeah.
I guess
it does.
Right. I do love a turkey club.
Turkey, bacon, guacamole is awesome. Yeah.
Number one.
Turkey number one. Gravy at two.
Right.
Potatoes at three.
Uh-huh.
Bread at four. And that's it. I don't eat anything
else. No stuffing?
Stuffing's kind of brown.
I don't love stuffing because people do it weird. I like stuffing without like onions or oysters or whatever nonsense.
Like right out of the box,
oysters.
Basically.
Yeah, people have oyster stuffing now. It's a thing. There's a buzz. So.
Yeah, oysters. No oyster stuffing. Yeah, I've had it. I've had it
with fishermen.
I've had it. It's not that great.
See, AJ knows.
It's not that great.
Many oysters. What are we gonna put it in the stomach?
Right. Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's
next thing you know, you're horny as hell.
Phil, can you look this up?
People will tell you.
Yep. Oyster stuffing.
So, yeah, it's just that. It's turkey, potatoes, bread. That's Thanksgiving. And then, like, apps, which could be as varied as Cheez-Its.
French fries, mini hot dogs.
It could be
shrimp.
It could be
pizza.
Barbecued chips.
Cheese.
I love barbecue
chips.
It's
a thing.
That's a thing.
Cheese. Yeah, see,
oyster stuffing.
I don't lie when I come on the
oyster
show.
Oyster stuffing.
Of course not.
Oyster stuffing is a phenomenon.
It is. I've had it.
Do you really think he's had it? I don't think he's had it.
Twice.
He hasn't had a cheesesteak before. There's no way.
So
oyster stuffing I've had.
Where?
I'm gonna what?
Where?
At home.
When?
It was made. Thank you.
By who?
By who?
By my mother-in-law.
What year?
Did that work for you?
What year?
What year?
What year?
That's about 10 years ago, 15
That's
years ago.
That's not true. This
we
just
were
got
here
invented.
For 18 years, so while we
yeah,
were
it's
here.
Called, I traveled. I got on the ferry and went back to Long Island.
This is fake.
You know, the whole, that conveyance that goes across the water for an hour and 15 minutes. Back then, it cost like $32 bucks.
This is an amazing story. When Keith said when, you're like, what?
No, because I couldn't believe someone was questioning who gives a rat's ass.
He's getting cranked up, though. That's how you know it's fake.
Yeah, no, it's not fake.
Hey, a week ago,
we
were just getting out of the box.
There's a million things out there. I'm gonna fake this one. Oyster stuffing.
Number one.
Which is funny because he was backing you up, Keith.
I was backing
today.
You up.
I'm sorry.
It's like when you pet the cat and then it bites your hand. You're like, what's wrong with you?
Stuff the turkey with your head.
And happy holidays.
So number one, so we can eventually finish this segment. I'm going to allow the children to put up Christmas decorations on Black Friday or Saturday. Usually we wait until December, but this year I'm going to cave. So we're not putting lights up because I'm not putting lights up inside the house because I certainly can't do that.
Do you even own a ladder?
Yeah, you own a ladder.
I actually don't own a ladder. That's true.
It's funny because this is the guy who does the chainsaw commercial.
Yes.
Chainsaw.
So we're going to put up our fake tree. We're going to put up our stockings. We're going to call it a day. Maybe hot chocolate. Maybe that U2 Christmas song. And then we're good. Till December 26th when it all comes down. Well, that's it. Happy Thanksgiving.
This was the Jazz and AJ podcast. Thanks for getting through the whole damn thing. Subscribe now and please rate and review us. Unless you have terrible things to say, then please don't. Also, share this podcast with friends. Jazz and AJ in the Morning happens weekdays from 5:30 a.m. to 10 a.m. out of New Haven, Connecticut on the mighty 99.1 PLR.